I'm Minister D.I. Williams from the Assembly of Durham Christian Center, where our pastor is Dr. Sylvester Williams, and I will be reading from the book of Mark on this morning, starting with the 14th verse. And as you are listening to me read, I want you just to reflect and to think on the things that you're expecting and asking and believing God to do for you and on your behalf. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And I like to take my topic from the 24th verse, where it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And I would like to use as a topic on today, Lord, help my unbelief. Amen. And when we see here in this passage of scripture, we're finding that many times we look to people for the answers that can only come from God. As we just read in the passage here, the father had taken his son to the disciples because he knew that those disciples had power. He knew that those disciples were performing some miracles and some works. He knew that those disciples had walked with Jesus and should have been able to provide him some of the comfort and some of the relief that he was looking for. But oftentimes we find ourselves in difficult situations and circumstances where the routine, normal situations or normal remedies and normal solutions for our problems just don't get the job done. And so what happened here in this passage is that this father, he was at his breaking point. This father, he had gone and he had taken his son to the disciples only to find that there again, no relief was being provided. That the son could not be delivered. See, oftentimes, you know, it's good for us to be around church folk. You know, it's good for us to be around people that make the right decisions and do the right things, but there will come a time in your life that when you're even in those close, good-knit circles, that there's just not enough there to get you the specific deliverance that you're looking for. So, Lord, help my unbelief. And so here we have the Father here saying, I've tried to do what I thought. Right? So even if we took that in today's terms, a lot of us may have children, or a lot of us may be dealing with adversity on our jobs, or a lot of us may be facing some unknown obstacles or unknown outcomes for certain situations in our lives. And so what do we turn to? Well, my child, he's not doing well in school, so I'm going to take him to a tutor. Right? Or on my job, I don't have enough money, so I'm just going to work some extra hours. Or, I'm not feeling good in my body, so I'm going to go and talk to the doctor, and doctor, please tell me what's wrong and what's going on. And after all those therapies and after all those sessions, you find yourself still in the exact same position as you'd always be in. Lord, help my unbelief. And so we find here that Christ Jesus has an encounter with this man. This man was at his breaking point. This man had tried everything he knew to try. He went and he talked with the disciples. I'd imagine that he went and he talked to the Pharisees. He went and he talked to the Sadducees. And he found himself in this multitude now that was coming to meet and see who Christ Jesus was. And so, this man spoke up out of the multitude. See, a lot of times the reason why we can't be delivered or we can't come out of those situations is because we're not willing to speak up. See, we want to just go into our own private closets and hide, and there is value in that. But there comes a time when you just have to lay it all out on the table. When you have to bring that thing that's troubling you and you've been wrestling with, and you just have to put it on the altar before the Lord. And you can't have any shame in your game, as they say. You can't have any reservations or hesitations about that thing, because you have to know that without a shadow of a doubt, Lord, it is out of my hands. And so I'd imagine that this is where that father was with his child. He had watched his child foam and grind his teeth. He had watched his healthy child now become pined away. It means withering and losing weight and getting skinny and frail in his body. He had watched his child go into the fire and jump out, go into the water and jump out. He had watched all these adversities as this spirit tormented his child.
Praise.
And a lot of times we get tormented in our spirits about things. The father couldn't control that. The father said, this is beyond me. The father did everything that he could do. But within his heart, he said he cried out. And so that's what we have to do. Don't, instead of being tormented by our situations, instead of being frustrated by the things in our life, instead of doubting that God is able to do all that he said he can do, we have to be willing to trust him.
That's right.
And not be frustrated. Because God ultimately wants to do what? He wants to bring you to that breaking point. He wants to let you know that this is something that you need to place within my hands. And so we see that the father does what? He reaches out. He cries out. He says, Jesus, have compassion on us. And that's the point where he's now recalling all the things that his son has been through. Now, there's an important distinction to make here. Is that you can think back on the things that you've gone through without looking back. Well, what do you mean by that? It means that, God, here's something that I was going through at one point in time in my life, and here's how you brought me through that thing. But it's not a thing of, as Lot's wife did, look back wanting to go back to that thing that you had been delivered from. And so the first thing we see here within the text as it unfolds is that the father thought back without looking back.
Yeah.
And so if we want the Lord to help us in our unbelief, then what we have to be willing to do is to think back without looking back. And so the father's requesting, Lord, help me with my unbelief. First the father said, I believe. And then he said, help me with my unbelief. The father is really saying, Lord, I don't want to look back. Once you do this thing that I know you're about to do, because it hadn't been done yet, I want to be able to sustain
sustain it in order to keep it in line. So when the Lord is going to help us, then what the Lord is going to do is he's going to show us how to do it. But the first question you have to say is, well, Lord, do I believe you can do it? Now, we read in Matthew 17 that all it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. See, God says you don't have to come to me with a big old jar full of faith. You don't have to come to me with a Wells Fargo safe full of faith that you've deposited all through the years. All you got to do is trust me this much, because I'm a big God. I have the power. And so that's what we see unfolding here. So Jesus responds and he tells the Father this in the 23rd verse. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So this is what we would call, in, I think I took a psychology class one time, a logical conditional statement. It means if this action happens, then the condition of this action results in another action. And Jesus is saying is that if you can believe, Father, that your son can be whole, then it is possible. So then what is the contrary to that statement? If you don't believe that it is possible, then it's not going to happen. And a lot of times the things are not happening within our own lives. It's not because God isn't able to do them, but it's because we're not able to believe he can.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
And so then what we have to be willing to do is make this same declaration the Father made. I believe, and Lord, help me with my unbelief. And so it's at that very moment that you become accountable, not just for your actions. And see, here's the other thing that came out in this passage. Is that when the Father was going to the disciples, he thought it was just a physical issue, right? He just saw the symptoms on the signs on the outside. He thought that the reason his son was going through had to be, maybe it was something in his, you know, his makeup. Maybe it was something in his chemistry. Maybe it's something he saw me do one time. And he just keeps now just convulsing, it says. He keeps shaking uncontrollably. He keeps throwing himself and picking himself back up. So he thought that this was a physical condition. And what he, as well as the disciples, failed to realize is that this affliction was not natural, but it was a spiritual affliction. It was a possession of a demonic influence and force. And so the reason later on, and we're going to talk about this later, but the reason Christ Jesus tells us that some things come by fasting and praying is because everything is not just about your flesh.
Amen.
Some of the stuff that you are experiencing is about your spirit. It's about your thoughts. It's about your conscience. It's about how well you're able to keep yourself in tune with what God's expectations are for you. Now, but look at what happens when you believe. Verse 25. It says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee to come out of him and enter no more into him. Now, not only did Jesus rebuke the spirit, but he told him to come back no more. Now, we know there's the other passage in scripture that says that once the house has been swept clean, and the spirit goes and comes back, he brings seven more with him. See, in this instance, because the Father asked for help with his unbelief, Jesus said, oh, Not only are you willing to change your natural physical appearance, but you're also willing to change your spiritual conscience. You're willing now to put those things that would have potentially allowed you to get back in the same situation to the side in order to follow after me. And so he charges them and says, what? Come back no more. And for us, that's the same type of zeal. That's the same kind of passion. And that becomes our responsibility in how the Lord can help us with our unbelief. It is, what are you willing to allow God to do?
Amen.
And after he does it, what are you willing to do for God? See, a lot of times we want what? We want that instantaneous. Yeah, I believe I'm going to stand in the line today and the prayer's going to go forth over me and I'm going to receive it and it's mine. Uh-huh. And then once you get that blessing and you leave up out of the church and you skipping and you happy, it's 4 Sundays later before you come back. You've backslid and you've gone back and transgressed. You pick those old habits back up. You're back drinking. You're back smoking. You're back fornicating, lying, backbiting. You're back in illicit and perverse relationships. And God says, hold up a minute. You told me you believed, but now your actions indicate that you really don't understand who I am.
Amen.
And so you can end up in a worse situation in the latter times than you were before. Mm-hmm. And it's all demonstrated by your lack of belief in God. Now, so after Jesus rebukes the spirit, and this was it's just a short little collection of verses. But this is one of the better parts of the passage. It says that the Spirit did his best to tear this boy up. After Jesus told him to come out, what it said? It said, rent him sore. I know we got somebody in here who can relate to being sore. Amen. And it came out of him. And as it came out, it had so fatigued his physical body that he lay there dead. The next point is you have to be careful what you ask God to deliver you from. Because sometimes there's a struggle in that deliverance that will test every ounce of strength within your natural and physical body that you will feel as though you have died. But when God delivers you, look at what he does. Jesus took him by the hand. So even though you've exhausted all possibilities, even though you've gone to your breaking point, even though you say, Lord, I just can't take another step. I just don't want to take another breath. I just don't want to find myself in this same situation again. I'm just asking you, God, to revive me. And that's what happens here. It says Jesus took him by his hand. And then what? He lifted him up. And then he arose. And so once God has delivered you from something, he's not going to leave you out or down for the count. Once he's done that, what he's going to do is he's going to pick you back up. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the resources. He's going to give you the energy. And so even though your situation may look bleak at that time, you will know that it was God that was able to do it for you. He's able to keep you and bring you through that situation. And the last verse, 29th. Verse. When the disciples, after watching Jesus, we know that Jesus was what? All powerful. All power was given by his Father into his hands. And so the disciples said, well, hold up. We've been able to, in your name, cast out devils. We've been able to, in your name, heal and raise the sick. We've been able to do these things. So why was it that we were not able to cast out this one? As you could imagine, as a teacher, you know, you have students sometimes that say, oh, well, hold up, teacher. I did everything you taught me to do. You said to add the two and carry the one. Well, why is my answer not coming out right? You told me that if I practice running this many times a week, that when the track meet came, that I would be prepared, coach. You told me if I sat there and I shot my free throws at the end of every practice, that when the game was on the line, I would be able to make those shots, but I missed. And so here the disciples were asking Jesus, well, what's different? And Christ's response was, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting.
Amen.
So what you find in the article is that sometimes we fail, in the passage is that sometimes we fail to identify the type of situation that we're in. Some situations we're in because, well, this is just accumulation of some bad mistakes on my part. This is accumulation of some bad judgments on my part. Or this is accumulation of, well, God is placing me in this position so that he can grow and teach me something that I don't know already. And so in this situation, the disciples have been placed in a situation that they ultimately weren't familiar with. Now, when you look at these two words here, prayer and fasting, this fasting here is different from other uses of the word fasting in the Bible. When you look at fasting, you immediately think about the exercise of, I'm not going to eat today. I'm going to turn away and at sundown, no more meals. One day, 3 days, 7 days, 40 days, however long the Lord leads you. We think about that with fasting. But this fasting here is a specific type of fasting. It's often the type of fasting that occurs during the Day of Atonement. It's the type of fasting that was significant. And for those of us that have been going through the Bible studies on the Day of Atonement and listened to the message by a pastor in the previous week, the Day of Atonement was a yearly or annual day. It only came once a year. And that's when the high priest went into the holiest of holies to offer up the sacrifice for himself as well as for the sins of the people. And so when it's talking about here doing prayer and fasting, it's talking about this is a specific set aside day or time that will allow you to overcome this type of spiritual depression, oppression, suppression in your life. So it's saying that sometimes you're going to have to get on your knees and ask God to do it. Sometimes you're going to have to enter into that holiest of holy places. Sometimes only God himself is going to be able to speak to your situation and to rebuke those things that are in your life in order for you to not die but to live. And so that's what the disciples didn't know. They thought that just because they were saved, or just because they knew Jesus, or just because they knew the name of Jesus, or just because of the power that was in his name, that they would be able to do what they had always done. But Jesus said, this one is different. This one is outside of what you normally do. In order for the believer to have that belief, in order for the believer to know who Christ Jesus is, there have to be instances in our lives where we're willing to be stretched and grown by God. And the only way that happens is through prayer and fasting. See, oftentimes we find ourselves in our lives going through situations and we don't know what to do or where to turn to. But if you turn to Mark 9:29, it tells you clearly what to do. It says, pray and fast. So when you're praying, that's your time of talking to God. What did the Father do? He cried out. He said, God, here's what I'm thinking about. I don't want to be in a position where I go back to that thing. So God, I'm talking to you about how you can deliver me, how you can set my son free. And so during our prayer, it should be just that specific. He didn't hold anything back. He said, God, he's been jumping in and out the water. God, he's been jumping in and out the fire. God, he's foaming at the mouth. God, he's losing weight for no reason. God, he's gnashing his teeth and grinding them. God, he's crazy and a lunatic, it says in Matthew. He's out of his mind, God. What am I going to do? And he says, okay, prayer, fasting, right? And so now we as believers, when we find ourselves interceding for somebody else, now we as believers, when we find our children not behaving the way we want, now that spouse is not talking the way we want them to talk, now that job just won't give me the promotion, the recognition, the hours I deserve, now we have to say, what? I'm just going to pray about it. Amen. I'm going to cry out unto the Lord. And then you have to be willing to do something. It says fasting. You've got to put that plate down. You've got to put some things to the side. You've got to be willing to see, fasting during this time was all about that relationship with God. And so when the father was saying, Lord, help me in my unbelief, he's saying, Lord, help me with my relationship with you. Because I want to be able to get in right standing with you. John 3:18 says it like this. Let's turn to John 3:18. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, too many times the reason we don't have the help we want, the reason we are unbelieving, the reason we don't see the things changing, the shackles being broken, the strongholds in our life being thrown down, is because we don't recognize the name of Jesus. We're not willing to do what? Believe on him. His name is just that powerful. That the name of Jesus. So all we have to be willing to do is call on his name, and he will be there to help us. He will be there to respond to the needs that we have in our lives. And all the time we sit back and we're going through, man, just don't have enough money to put food on the table. Man, gas prices done went up again. Man, I'm feeling sick in my body. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Whatever the case may be, God says, just believe on me. Because if you stop believing on me and start thinking that you can do it on yourself, your own, then you're condemned. That's right. Because you're no longer believing in me. That's right. You're going to find yourself in a state that you were worse off than you are now. So keep trusting in me. Keep seeking my face. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep talking to the believers in the body. Keep going to the pastor. Keep asking the ministers. But when that doesn't work, you trust in me. Because I'm the one that can deliver you.
That's right.
Matthew 26:41 says this. It says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And many of us know this already, is that in those times where you've seen God moving, in those times where you've been delivered out of a situation in your life and you go skipping and singing his praises, it's as soon as you get back around that old crowd, or as soon as you find yourself in an old situation. I talked to the pastor on this past week, and I talked about how even as I was preparing for this sermon, the email came across my desk that said, you know you got to work this weekend. Now, I hadn't worked in a month of Saturdays, as they would say. But on this one weekend, as I'm preparing, Saturday is normally my time to have family and I reflect on the scriptures. That's every Saturday. But this one Saturday, my tradition, my habit, my time was being threatened by an email request. And I said, you know what? In times past, I've gotten flustered. In times past, I've gotten upset. I called and I talked to my wife. And she was like, this ain't nothing you ain't seen before. It always happens like that. And I said, you know what? You're right. So what do you always do? What you gonna do? You'll get up early, you'll go into work. You'll get off work early, you'll come home. We'll have family time, a little Friday night, a little Saturday afternoon, and then you got the rest of the evening to finish your study. And I said, you know what? You're right. That is what I'm going to do. And guess what? That's what I did. And so the point is that because we know ourselves, we know those things that would tempt us, we know that, I'm mad, I'm not going into work on Saturday. And then they show you your pink slip on Monday. Right? I'm not going to go in there and get off early. And so then you miss out on your family time. You miss your son's soccer game. And he did a good job. Or you miss your nephew out there on the football field, or your niece out there on the soccer field, or whatever the issues are, whatever the things that are going on and the activities, you're not able to hang up a ceiling fan, or you're not able to call and visit with your grandparents, or whatever the family time is for that instance or that weekend, you say, you know what? I ain't going to trust God. I'm going to just figure this all out on my own. It says what? Pray that you enter not. Watch that you enter not into your flesh. What's temptation? It's something that feels good to you. You can't be tempted on that thing you ain't never experienced. I have no temptation to eat. What's a fruit? I can't even think of something I ain't ate, because everything I would call is probably something I have eaten. But you can't be tempted by something that you've never done. Right? And so it says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And so in watching and praying, then you're saying that, okay, Lord, I'm going to be led by your spirit so that I don't enter into a state of being tempted or ultimately not believing in you and not trusting in you. And then 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but I keep my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It's a day to day. It's maintenance. Right? Believing in God requires some work and some effort on your part. And the biggest part, the biggest thing for you to know and to understand is that, God, I've got to get this flesh under control. In order for my spirit to thrive and strive and to grow, God, I have to be willing to make those sacrifices in my spirit. See, what the Father didn't realize here is that not only did he have a natural manifestation of this demonic possession, but he also had a spiritual effect. And so what we have to do is be willing to identify and address both of those things. And that's what Christ Jesus was telling his disciples. It says that this kind can only come by fasting. It can only come by praying. It can only come by worshiping. It can only come by praising. It can only come in reading and studying the Bible. It can only come by your trust and your belief in me. Because that's the only thing that's going to be enough to keep you. That's the only thing that's going to be enough to sustain you. That's the only thing that's going to be enough to deliver you. Those things that will seek to kill you and take you out can only be overcome by the blood of Christ Jesus. And we just ask on today that if there's anybody in here that doesn't believe, if there's anybody in here that has that doubt and says, well, God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. God, this thing is so strong in my life that I can't trust you for it. God, whatever it is, You've got to be willing to believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. At this time, we've already had prayer. Amen. And so if there was anybody who after today's message, you know, saying, Lord, I need you just to take charge. See the thing the disciples did know is that they had power. You know, and that power came from the name of Jesus. And so for us as believers, there's no reason that we shouldn't act in that same power and that same authority that God has given unto us. There is no reason.